So in the early part of the Gospel of Mark, it highlights events and teachings from Jesus' ministry in Galilee. In the central part of the Gospel, we hear about the journey to Jerusalem, where Jesus was to suffer and die, and after 3 days rise again. So Jesus is walking towards the cross, and the disciples have not grasped who he really is. So here they experience Jesus in a fresh way.
Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became a dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anybody what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The location traditionally associated with the transfiguration of Jesus is Mount Tabor on the southern edges of Galilee. Today, the top of the mountain is occupied by 2 monasteries side by side. You've got the Greek Orthodox Monastery and then the Franciscan Roman Catholic Monastery with a rather more impressive Church of Transfiguration as its main landmark. I still remember the night I spent on Mount Tabor. I spent it just outside the monastery walls. I had walked through the Galilean countryside from Nazareth during the day. In the late afternoon, I climbed the conical hill of Mount Tabor. And there in the evening breeze, I saw birds of prey circling in the air, both above and below me. I watched the sun slowly sinking towards the horizon in the west, the valley of Jezreel spread below me, and the hills of Galilee to the north. A young Jewish man was also up there with me, enjoying the scenery. And he asked me about the monasteries and why this mountain was important in the Christian tradition. And so I told him the story of the Transfiguration, about how Jesus had John in white so that his disciples could not look at him, how Moses and Elijah were speaking with Jesus, and how Peter had offered to build shelters for them, how a voice had come from the clouds, and then the whole spectacle had disappeared, and they came down the mountain. As I was telling the story, I somehow felt as if I was recounting one of the fantastical myths that are associated with so many landmarks in the area, particularly also the Muslim myths that are often associated with many sites there. Nevertheless, the young Jewish man said, "That's a beautiful story," said goodbye and walked down partway of the mountain to his car. I stayed on the mountain and watched the sun setting behind the Galilean hills, heard the Muslim calls to prayer waft up from the minarets below before night and silence fell on the mountain. I climbed into my hammock and spent a relatively cold night there. Well, first of all, I need to mention that I do not think that the transfiguration of Jesus happened on Mount Tabor. from the descriptions in the Gospels, we know that Jesus at this point was in northern Galilee. And while Mount Tabor stands out sharply from the plain, it is not particularly high. And at that time, it was not really a solitary place. There was some settlement up there. I think a far better candidate is Mount Hermon in the northern Golan Heights, not far from northern Galilee, which is so high that in winter it is covered with snow, and it really does provide some solitude. Nevertheless, I wonder whether today I would have talked to the young Jewish man differently when I described the transfiguration to him. I would probably emphasize its connection with the Jewish scriptures more. And the gospel writers make that quite clear. Mark and Matthew both mention that after 6 days, Jesus took some of his disciples to the top of the mountain. This echoes the 6 days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai before he was called into God's presence. As the disciples see Jesus transfigured, they see two other figures with him, who they know to be Moses and Elijah. Now, both Moses and Elijah met God on the mountain which is variously called Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb in the scriptures. Maybe they are here as the representatives of all the prophets of Israel. But rather, I think that it also makes a connection that Jesus here was in the presence of God, and the disciples were in the presence of God through being with Jesus, just as Moses and Elijah were in the presence of God on the mountain. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that Jesus was talking with them about his own upcoming exodus. The transfiguration and therefore the suffering and death of Jesus were linked to the exodus. For just as God had delivered Israel through the exodus from enslavement, so now God would deliver the whole world from the dark powers that oppressed them, powers for which the Roman occupying military force was just an outward sign. Of course, in the following chapters, we read about the clear association of the events of the cross with the Passover. And the Passover is the official memory of the Exodus. So through Jesus clearly intended that association between the Exodus and the cross. Through his suffering, death, and resurrection, the powers of evil would be defeated, people would be liberated, and the covenant would be renewed. As such, the events from the transfiguration to the resurrection point back to all of Israel's covenants. The covenant with Abraham, which we read about in the Old Testament reading today, the covenant at the time of the Exodus and on Mount Sinai, and then also the new covenant when the law is put in people's minds and written on their hearts, as Jeremiah says. Here in the Transfiguration, the veil is briefly lifted and the disciples are allowed to glimpse the real glory of Jesus, the suffering servant, but also the deliverer. And they realize that this is not just a human mission or the rabbi's bold reinterpretation of Israel's scriptures. No, this is God's way of bringing salvation. It is confirmed in the voice that came from the cloud. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Of course, these words reflect the words at the baptism of Jesus, when the Spirit descended on Jesus and the words were heard, "You are my beloved son." Just as at the baptism, it is clear at the transfiguration that Jesus is of God and is God. Now, those words and the voice from the cloud, they also respond to Peter's suggestion. Of course, Peter had suggested to build 3 shelters or tabernacles. And these tabernacles, in a way, could be seen that God would be with them, that the presence of God would be with the people, just as the tabernacle was the presence of God with the people after the event on Mount Sinai. Nevertheless, God says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So the words point out that God's presence is now here through Jesus rather than through the tabernacle or the temple. Well, and then the transfiguration is over as Jesus pursues the road to Jerusalem. He tells the disciples to keep quiet until the resurrection. At that point, the disciples, rather than being confirmed in their faith, are puzzled by what they had seen and even more by what Jesus might mean with the resurrection. It is only later that they come to understand the importance of what they had seen, that God's glory was present in Jesus and that Jesus would bring freedom by suffering and dying for the sins of his people. Now, I don't know whether seeing all these connections with the scriptures make the transfiguration less a beautiful story, as I was told, and more something that makes us realize who Jesus is. But if we have followed the deeds and words of Jesus to this point and have confessed with Peter that Jesus is the Christ, then the transfiguration will help us to realize what that means, especially as we prepare to come to understand the passion of Jesus, when we see Jesus both in glory and in suffering. Amen.